You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome, welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. You're welcome to call 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, and text thoughts, questions, ideas. Sometimes your ideas just spur other ideas, and they help me, they help others. So you can also email anytime, and anytime during this holiday. You do not have to email during our live program. DM live at breadboxmedia.com. So today I want to do a few things on survival tips for not just the holidays, but really they go for every day. But the holidays, as you know, they're just this juxtaposition, happiness and excitement and music and decorations and deep, deep despair and depression or anxiety and anger. So it depends on where in life you're at the moment. You could have everything at your fingertips, all good, family, kids, grandkids, big table, same thing you've had for your whole life, and you could just be feeling absolutely miserable and alone in that because you feel guilty on top of that. Or you could have had tragedies happen, traumas happen, find yourself completely alone for whatever reason. People who either through work or the military or other misfortunes, well, they're not necessarily misfortunes, but misfortunes such as divorce or abandonment, or maybe your child is having their own issues and adult and not wanting to come back home. Maybe one of your partners is ill. So many things, or you're just alone. You're just alone. So what are some survival tips? Well, I want to let you know, first of all, that any survival tips you talk about that have to do with the insides, the feelings, the re-triggerings of perhaps bad days or old traumas, or maybe you are just sensitive, not just, but you are sensitive to sunlight. Maybe you're on medications that cause you to feel depressed and down. There's so many medications out there, blood pressure medications, steroids for pain or steroids for arthritis or steroids for asthma, or things that you might be on a steroid for, that can cause severe and deep depression or acting out in anger. A lot of things can happen. Certain drugs for diabetes can cause depressions. Or I'm only naming like just a handful. Some antidepressants can cause depression. Some antipsychotics can cause depression. Sleep medications can cause depression. Antihistamines can cause depression. Benadryl, your such and such PM, whatever it is, whether it's Tylenol PM, I don't even know if they make that anymore, but any of the PM things you can get from over the counter, most of them have as their main ingredient a kind of antihistamine that can make you be depressed. There's so many things that can help cause or that can cause actual depression. Lack of sunlight, lack of vitamin D. Your need for vitamin D goes up as you age because your skin is not like baby skin anymore. Your skin cannot absorb. You could live in the sunniest place known to man. But one, if you don't get out in the sun, that doesn't help. You're not going to get it through your car window. You're not going to get it through your office window. You're not going to get it sitting home watching television. You're just not going to get it. You're not going to get it with sunscreen. So we have kind of a dilemma there. You need sunscreen at the same time. It can help block out some of your ability to make vitamin D. That's just what happens from the sunlight. So we have all these things that we can help counteract with a balanced diet, maybe some supplementation under the guidance of someone who knows what they're doing. Perhaps there's sometimes we just don't understand that we've slipped into a subtle depression, so we don't get that we're actually there. We just kind of don't feel much of anything or just don't really want to do anything and think, well, that's just kind of fine. But in reality, there's actually a bit of a depression going on too. There can be high anxiety. There can be anger, lots of re-triggering. And a lot of the anger can come from old family wounds. And those old family wounds, you may not even be aware of them, or you may think you've dealt with them. And so it comes out in just irritation. It comes out in eye rolling, sarcasm, just a little underhanded in a way, little covert ways of trying to protect yourself from whatever was an aggression in the past. So there's all these little things. But let's say you have none of those, still has with it high expectations and holidays. We're in the winter months, and traditionally holidays in the winter months, all throughout the world, all throughout millennia, before we had all the electrical devices or even electricity, there were certain holidays and traditions that came about to basically keep people from going stir crazy or having cabin fever or going into depressions and doing crazy stuff because of living as a natural being on this planet. Did you know that in this country, in the prairie lands, if you're listening from Iowa, if you're listening from some of the Nebraska, some of the prairie places where little tiny families were pioneering and they're going across this huge country, and they stop, let's say in Iowa, or they're starting to build a farm or whatever reason they're there. And they lived in literally, truly sod huts, sod houses. And they may have 3, 4, 5, 6 kids in sod, in this little mound. If you ever just Google it, it's amazing the resilience we have. However, it was as needed in the day. Oftentimes the man would go out to do work at winter work or be in town to get work so they could bring food to their family. And the woman would be in the sod hut, no windows or little, just barely any light. Of course they had some in places like Iowa where it can be 40, 80 below with wind chill, where there isn't an ability to be outside, where there is no gas heat or expensive Lexus with a BMW SUV or a grocery store, excuse me, just a couple feet away. And what happened is that they would find sometimes in the springtime, there'd be all the snow, all the winter would happen, frozen. And they would find sometimes these bodies of women who would be so, their minds would be so changed because of their biology, because of no light, because of complete confinement, nothing around. You can't have complete isolation, sensory deprivation, no sunlight. They would just open the door and just lay down in a snowdrift. Now, it wasn't obviously, it was a problem, actually. It really was a problem. But we may not have that now, but what I want to do is to hone you in on, it's not weird to be weird. It's not weird to feel depression, anger, angst, just irritation, feel put upon, feel not taken, not cared about. Now, I'm focusing on that because I want to give you tips, not just how to survive, but how to retool and refocus what this particular time is really all about. We are biologically equipped to have certain needs during the winter months to get us through mentally as well as physically. Hence, a lot of the nations that sprung up long before we had our pioneer days, they had dismal, dark times as well, but they had already implanted and tradition over generations of well-placed, maybe not well thought out, but they served an amazing function. Different rituals, the Yuletide, the different things that brought color into a home, whether it was green from holly and red, the contrasting color, the fires, the celebration, even the feasts, just different things that would cause this breakup and the much needed release. You must have it. You have to have it. So there's nothing weird with that. There's nothing odd with that. Now, you already may have a propensity. You may be in a situation that of itself causes isolation, loneliness, depression. You may be clinically depressed. You may have anxiety disorder. There's all kinds of things, and we have families and we all have things to do, or we have nothing to do. So there's all these little sprinkling of different kinds of people, different kinds of experiences, but we kind of come down to the same core. Holidays can be very stressful. So not only do I want to do some survival tips as if, oh, we just have to get through them, but it's also refocusing our thoughts, our feelings, how we view things, not only to help us stay grounded during the holidays, but carry that on throughout the year. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to go into several different techniques and tips that you can actually implement to help you prepare, at least just put your best psychological foot forward as we're coming into Thanksgiving tomorrow and then the winter months that are coming ahead and also the different holidays. So we will go into that on the other side of the break to make this one of the best holiday times you can have. I am Dr. Michelle. We'll see you on the other side.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. Do you have a tradition or do you have a strategy that you use to get yourself through the holiday, to feel better, to not sink into a depression, let's say, if you have before? It is uncanny. And I know that you know this, you hear it, but it's one thing about hearing it, and it's another thing about ingesting it and living it. If you were to take a poll, and if you look at some of the, just Google anything on the internet, you'll find anything about the holidays, anything about statistics. Most people, there, I would say more people than not, believe it, more people than not have some problem. Some problem, but a lot of people, some problem with the holidays, but a lot of people would say the holidays are the worst time of year. That's why we set up extra help on holidays. And it's not just the tiny, tiny little marginalized part of society. And it doesn't have anything to do with money. Sure, that can cause some angst and some difficulty when you want to get your children something that you can't get them, let's say, for Christmas. And that's a tough one. It causes up all kinds of feelings. However, holidays are really hard for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. So people with depression or who have had depression have to be especially careful in the holidays, during the holiday season. However, people without any history can start feeling depressed, angry, irritable, anxious, might even have a panic attack. So there are certain things that you can do to help decrease those feelings. Now, I want to kind of back up just for a second and just acknowledge the fact that when you do these things, they're not 100%. And when you are then left with quiet or you have a moment, sure, it will be probably more the rule than not the rule that those feelings will crop up again. But there's one thing about having a half hour where you're bombarded with certain feelings or you're starting to feel that again, and or having days and days and days on end to where you spiral down into ill health, where it's much harder to get back up. So if we can nip some of these things in the bud, it can help. And you know what? I am telling you this not from many, many different avenues. I've experienced these things myself, just as me. I also have experienced this with family members. The first Christmas after a baby dies, first Thanksgiving, or people I know, friends I know, spouses are died, or things happen, or they themselves are depressed. They've had awful holidays, or every holiday they have to go back into, or they feel they have to go back into the household that abused them as children, and that everybody knew, but nobody said, nobody did anything. I mean, this could be your family. It could not be your family. I'll give you some other examples as well. So these things aren't easy, but you know what? They can be done. And they're easy to do. And when I say they can't be easy, what I mean is, yeah, you might feel some things as you go on, but you're going to keep yourself. If you could keep yourself, let's say you're on a boat and it's going from one side to the other. It looks like it's going to capsize. It's a lot better to be soaking wet and a little fearful as you're hanging on to something and the boat doesn't turn over, then it would be to lose grip and fall into the ocean and then have to hope that you'll be saved. So we're going to try to refocus a little bit. So the number one thing I want to talk about, or I want to begin with, is one, knowledge is power. Knowledge is always power. Think about any of your favorite political, moral conflicts that you have. One person takes one side, one person takes another. When you hear of one group of people trying to withhold information and knowledge from another, you know that that's a dangerous thing. So we want you not to withhold the knowledge from yourself. Acknowledging, now let's just put it down to what do a lot of Catholics are pro-life, and the Catholic Church is pro-life. What if one of the biggest pet peeves, one of the biggest problems is that you feel like the pro-choice people don't want you to know all the information. They don't want the person to be able to see the 3D ultrasound. This is what a lot of the pro-life groups say. Because why? Because if they had that knowledge, knowledge is power. Some of them may choose something different. Some of them may not. But at least they have the ability to understand what it is they're doing. So for you, let's back up to you now. I want you to have knowledge that this occurs, that it occurs in you if it does. And then I want you to take that and realize that not having the acknowledgement, pretending it's not there, will only lead to isolation in thought, isolation in emotion, isolation in actions, isolation, helplessness, fear, anxiety, and finally depression. This will occur if you don't understand, if you don't allow yourself to understand. If you've been through so many, if you're listening to this and you are old enough to make a turkey yourself, you're going to know you've been enough Thanksgivings, enough holidays, enough seasons to know the good and the bad, to know that you do miss the good, to know that, yes, you do suffer from depression. Perhaps you are a self-harmer. You want to self-harm. Perhaps you're bulimic. Perhaps you have an eating disorder and you dread and you're scared. Understanding this is your issue. This is when you start arming up with what you can for you. If you are a, in recovery for alcoholism, and your entire family drinks, and you know it's going to be not just hard because you will want to drink, but you'll be pressured to drink, you arm yourself up with your alternative. How are you going to do it? Now, we're going to talk about some of those things. So I think it's really important for you to say, okay, I need to acknowledge inside myself that, yeah, I got a few issues. Maybe I don't get them all, but I have a few issues. I'm feeling anxious already, or I know I'm depressed, or I am just alone, abandoned, gone. I just can't deal with this. And then you start ruminating and thinking of what you've done and all the things that you used to have that you don't have, or that how the people that have abandoned you don't understand you, whatever it could be. Or you also know that certain foods that you eat will bother your blood pressure or your blood sugar, and then you have to say no, and you don't want to be a, you know, there's all these things. So we don't have to go through everything. I think what we need to do is for you as an individual, whatever your issue is, you just started a diet, you're vegan, you're diabetic, you have other blood pressure issues, that you have to be super careful. There's things that you can do. There's things that you can do. In just the food element alone, you can bring a dish, let's say. Maybe you can bring a salad or something and fill up a little bit before you go on your good food. Bring a salad. And then if you can, if you can't, if it's a trigger food or you actually have to stay away from it, you can announce privately to the host or hostess that you must stay away from certain foods, or you can take a tiny bit. And of course, there's always that person that says, what? That's all you want. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. These are things that we always face. But when we come back from the break, I want to talk about some of the most basic things I want you to focus on and your own intentions about these upcoming days. I also want to talk about some physical things that you can do, very basic things that you can do that will help get you in training, basically, will help you to get through some maybe uncomfortable situations. I want you also to be honest with yourself. If you have had or have or are being treated for depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder or seizure disorder, or you are taking certain medications that don't mix with certain things, or you know if you eat the high carbs, you're just going to feel like going to sleep and feel miserable, or let's say you have a particular problem with constipation or some kind of physical problem, and you don't want to be rude, but you know you can't eat the food that's usually served traditionally. There's ways to get around that and be okay. And make, it's not all about a defensive mood. It's now we're going to also put in, how do you go forward and what do you present so that you have a good time, so that you optimize those feelings, so that you give and you can thank and you can give gratefully to someone else. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break too. There are things that you can do even at this late date, but even if everything's written in stone, we're going to be able to utilize these things throughout the entire year. So grab your coffee, take a deep breath, think about what knowledge you need to bring up to your own self, and we will see you on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, where we are looking at the intersection of mental health, spiritual health, physical health, emotional health. It's all interrelated, every single bit of it. And one will play on another. And if you have a little bit of less of a grasp on one, then you beef up the other. We just have to do that. Now, oftentimes, I don't pay as much attention to getting out and doing some physical exercise. Now, part of that is because I don't practice what I need to preach as easily or as readily as I should. I used to, and then I don't. So that's just after a couple injuries and things like that. And you know, other things get in the way, right? You just go from walking 4 miles a day to like not walking 4 miles in a month. So this is a good time to take stock. You might live in a place that's just too cold, wet, rainy, dismal to go out and be outside. If you can be outside, even for a few minutes, watch a bird in your barren tree, anything that will get you breathing in the air outside of your own house, outside of your couch, outside of the mess that you're hoping will transform for Thanksgiving. Whatever state you are in, therewith be content, says Philippians. Just find yourself in a space, and if you can, whatever you can do, maybe you just do jumping jacks in the living room in front of a window, in front of an open window if you can. Maybe you'd go around the house a few times, or you walk up and down the stairs, something to get the blood going, because we have blood and it has to circulate, and it is life-giving. It gives us, it transports our, it's the waterway system of the old days, you know, the river system and the tributaries. That's why you got your food and your water and everything else and all the gems and whatever it is you need. It came through these watery tributaries. Well, so does your body with your blood. So that's just a little plug for beginning. You don't have to start saying, okay, I'm making this resolution. I'm going to go to the gym every single day, and I'm going to get these new shoes, and I'm going to be on these machines, because then you end up spraining a muscle and then you don't do anything. That does happen quite a bit. So moderation in a bit, do a little bit at a time, because little and little and little adds up to a lot, right? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I think that's a Buddhist saying. So we're talking about acknowledging, number one, acknowledging that you have some issues. And if you know what they are, acknowledge them. Don't dwell on them, but acknowledge them. Yes, I mean, from the most little seemingly trite thing to the most difficult thing. Many of you have told me that there are people in your family or extended family who have committed crimes basically against other people in the family. They've molested them or you. And every year you go back to that table. And even though family members know about it, it's been outed for years, nobody's done anything. They don't mention it. You're the one that has to keep the secret. That's a very damaging, very, very damaging. And for you, you may not want to be in that situation. That's a different story. But we can go from that extreme to something where you just feel like you're always competing against yourself, or you're competing against someone who's doing it even better. And the anxiety of the kids screaming and the pie burning and knowing that people are going to be there and you still don't have enough plates, those things can really get on your mind. So if you find yourself and you didn't plan, or you're completely alone and you don't want to be alone, there are things that you can do, but at least acknowledge. So knowledge is power, because knowledge will destroy isolation. If you know the truth, if you know the options of your to yourself, if you know what's bugging you, if you know why you're feeling that, even though you don't feel you have any outlet to say it, which would be great time today, if you could, to connect with that spiritual advisor if you have one. Find a confession if you can. I know that at least there is a monastery that you call up. They don't have confession times. They're not a parish. So you might have something like that in your neck of the woods, where you call up and you say, I'd like to have a confession. And some priest calls you back and says, you know, yeah, I can do confession at 3. Can you get here? So that may help as well, to air it out in front of God and with God. Or maybe today's the day for your counselor. A lot of people who are in counseling and who have their mental health professionals and social workers and physicians and psychiatrists, they get very down because they are kind of a lifeline during certain times in your recovery, or let's say it's recovery, and they're on vacation. They take the day and you think, oh gosh, well, they're taking their day with your family, and they make you feel, and you feel, that no one makes you feel, you start feeling diminished again. So if you know that these are things that happen to everybody and more people than not, there's a lot, lots. The reason you don't see them is because they are isolated. When soldiers came back from war or come back from war, one of the things if they have PTSD is they tend to isolate. So they find trailers out in the middle of nowhere. Or they go off to the woods during a holiday. They find some reason to isolate. They don't know that there are hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands just like them doing the same thing. And if they did know, or they were able to connect, they would have a sense of camaraderie, a sense of not being alone in the world. Okay, so think about that. Think about the fact knowledge is powerful. If you don't have the knowledge, then it is easier to isolate or to feel bad or to ruminate in the old hurts and traumas. But if you do have knowledge that this happens to people, this is a part of normal, because it's kind of abnormal to never have anything bad happen to you. So you may have all the pictures in front of you. You may have the perfect table, or you may have no table. If you have issues and you're dreading certain things and you're kind of freaked out about it, then you're a member of a very big club. So we want to do this. We want to, one, also make sure that you are aware that holidays trigger past traumas, pains, losses, abuses. They trigger loss big time, because maybe you had holidays. Maybe you expected holidays with someone who's no longer living. Maybe you expected things to occur that didn't occur. Maybe you have a family who decides to go to somewhere else and you're not invited. These things are all very, very hurtful. They can trigger your feelings of not being good enough. They can trigger your feelings of not being worthy because you are alone. They can trigger the feelings you had maybe during the traumas. Perhaps you are coming back from war. The smells in a fireplace. I had one soldier one time telling me that Thanksgiving was really hard for him because people in where he lived in the country always had fires going, and it reminded him of being in country. So these things are really tough. So understand that. Now, if you know someone, be empathetic. And you understand that as well. You may ask somebody. You may at least acknowledge it, or you may preempt it. Maybe you know this person always had a problem with fires. And instead of saying, or fires in the fireplace or certain things roasting, instead of saying, oh, well, they shouldn't have that problem, like a lot of people do. Well, I don't understand why they have such a big deal. I hear that all the time from people. Well, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, maybe they should get over it by now. No, no, no. Turn it around and be compassionate. Be empathetic. Say to yourself, my knowledge is that I really can't live in their head. I really don't know what they feel. So I'm going to try to make my table a table for everyone. And my table might mean that I don't roast a certain thing, or that I don't do it at a certain time of day because grandpa is so tired all the time. Those are really important things to think about. But yes, know the knowledge that it can trigger things of feeling not good enough. You're competing with your own self. You won't get that love of the mother, love of the father, even if they're long gone. Or you might have to face someone that abused you in the past. Now, remember, you don't have to. But that's another story. So then I want to go, we come back from the break, we want to focus on the most basic intention for why you're there. Why are you there anyway? What is your intention? Is it an obligation? Do you have unrealistic hope that the love and the Hollywood version of this Thanksgiving family, that's going to materialize this year when it hasn't in the past 30? Or are you going to want to recreate that one time it was feeling so good? Are you going to further the family tie and then that's a good thing and you really don't have a problem with it? Or is it going to trigger those feelings of not being good enough again, competing against yourself or your sister or your brother or whoever it can be? Or are you concerned about your family member embarrassing you with your in-laws? Or there's so many different things, but see, focus on what is your basic intention. Why are you either showing up at some place for your Thanksgiving, or why are you having people at your house? What is your basic need? Your basic need. So we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to then focus on reasons why others might be there as well. And then we're going to mesh the two in a more forward-thinking, compassionate way. We'll see you on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle. You can email me, dmlive@redboxmedia.com.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live, walking with me today, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can also email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So as we come into our last segment, we're going to, I always run into the end. There's just so much to bring in, so much to say. Because this just highlights and showcases, it's a time, holidays can be the catalyst to bring up a lot of toxic stuff inside of you and inside of family systems. But also, it is a beautiful opportunity to let some of the infection kind of like melt away and try to find ways that you can be the best person you can be for this time, that you cannot succumb, that you don't succumb to the depression, the anxiety, the self-deprecation, the desire to self-harm, the eating disorder. You know, some people go to their Thanksgiving dinner knowing exactly how they're going to work out throwing it all up. They just do. If you have a bulimic person in your family, some people use Thanksgiving to showcase their internal issues with their own family. They're a challenge. They're not done with compassion. Perhaps somebody is bringing, one family I know of that I spoke to very recently, I won't go into the whole story, but the reality is it's a very conflicting situation where one of the brothers is bringing home the new wife who happened to be the girlfriend of the other brother that they were, you know, it's just a mess. It's a disaster mess. And this would be the time when both parties would be able to put down the gauntlet and say, you know, this may be uncomfortable this year. Let's all do something else, or let's not all be together at the same time. Or maybe parents could host a all day long, come when you want to, Thanksgiving buffet as some people do. It's like an open house, Thanksgiving open house. So you're not all sitting there in anger and awkwardness and hurt and pain while one's running off to a bathroom to cry. So we have to look at this and think, what's my part in this too? So I want to get through some of these things because I'm not going to be able to cover all bases of all the different reasons people may feel alone and depressed. Perhaps you are a drug addict. Perhaps you have chosen a lifestyle that has alienated you from your family. Perhaps you are in the adult film industry. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And you need to be able to, you don't know how to patch these things up yet. What do you do? Where do you go? There are others like you out there. There are places to go. So we want to focus on the most basic reason why you are where you're going to be at Thanksgiving. Is it obligation? Do you have unrealistic expectations? Did you make unrealistic commitments? Are you so angry and upset and anxious that you just can't even, you don't even know how you're going to breathe through it? These are all important to know. Can you do something about it now? Can you shortcut? Can you be there a smaller amount of time? Is there something you can do honestly? Or something that you can do outside of that to balance it. Then you focus on why are other people there? As I said, some people use these holidays to showcase, to put something in someone else's face, to force that family member to listen to something else or to force their lifestyle choices on someone else. It happens all the time. So if you know that's going to happen, you need to ask yourself, what am I really doing? Is if every single Thanksgiving and every single Christmas, as I know from a person I spoke to recently, every single one for the past 15 years has been one of going all out and having rejection and having conflict and trauma from adult children, then perhaps this is the year to say, you know what, we're not going to do that. I'm having something from 3 to 5. I'm having an open house. You want to show up? That'd be great. And leave it and do something else. Invite other people to your open house or say, we're going to be at a restaurant. We're going to a restaurant this year. Just certain things like that, that you can do to help ameliorate, because we keep setting up the same scenarios, like the little kid that sits on the sidewalk waiting for a parent to come that isn't going to come. So we have to say, are we doing that inside of ourselves? Never shame thank at Thanksgiving. Sometimes people have complained to me about this before, have told me about this, so where they are busy, pretty much at a table, and the thankfulness and the blessing is directly the opposite of what this person is going through. So that it's almost a shame thank. Or a sarcastic thankfulness. The other thing is, be careful, be kind and compassionate with your thankfulness. If somebody just lost their job and they don't even know how they're going to pay their bills in their family, or they're so old, let's say that they're running out of money, or they've just had an illness, you're not going to thank necessarily for your great health. Or you're not going to necessarily thank yourself for your amazing new bonus and your prosperous job. Now, you may be thankful for all those things, but use compassion in who you are around. So it's a two-way street here. So also pay attention, as we talked about briefly in another segment, pay attention to your physical self. If you can, get the sleep you can get. Try not to take a sleep aid. That can add to an odd mood. Don't over imbibe. Don't over indulge in beer, alcohol, wine as part of the celebration, because then alcohol in itself is a depressant. And if you know someone who is a recovering alcoholic, you don't say, oh, one drink will be fine. Don't do that to them. Have plenty of different beverages around. And if you are that alcoholic, have your water ready. Have your carbonated water ready. And don't feel like you have to explain to everybody unless you want to. Stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. I'm not drinking anything. Be great. But if you can't do that, then find a way. where you're cool, but don't feel like you have to hide. Also remember, again, seasonal affective disorder is real. It is real. It is physiological. If you are entering into those months, I had a soldier call me the other day who, this is a particular time of year where there's certain things that happened. Those doors, he said, and he knows the doors. He said, the doors I keep talking about all these years that I don't want to open, I've opened up, let's say, you know, kind of making up a number. I've opened up, you know, 15 out of 30, and I'm ready to open another door. Sometimes those doors start coming up around the holidays. Those doors come up at certain times of year because that's the way it happened. Rethink your commitments. Rethink of what you've done. Maybe you've committed too much and you can kind of cut it down, or you can stop by for a few minutes. That may help even better. So I want you to think about that. I also want you to forget the unimportant stuff, the stuff that really doesn't make a difference. Let some of that go. One of the best things you can do is head off these problems. If you know that one person stresses you out so badly, or you just know these two people are going to get into a political conversation that's going to co-opt the whole day, prepare yourself for that, or again, cut down the hours, make things a little time limited, or you drop over someone else's house if that's at all possible. So I want you to think about these things so that you can give yourself the most leeway. Don't use things to re-wound yourself, even though you may not intentionally be doing that. But give away as much as you want to take in. So in other words, if you want this big family feeling, then you be the big family feeling. You can't control and know your powerlessness. You will not control the person who must talk about the elections. You will not control the one member of the family who is pro-life and the other that's pro-choice. You will not create, you will one who has a lifestyle that or one who everyone's walking on eggshells around because they just were released from a psychiatric ward in a hospital, or may have been suicidal, or may have an eating disorder. You be the big person, and you bring joy, you bring happiness, you bring the food. And if you know your family well enough, you do what you need to do. If you have nobody, if you can volunteer, do. Sometimes volunteers find that there's just too many volunteers. So maybe you know of a little group of people that are safe. You can bring down some coffee, maybe some homeless. Where I volunteered went yesterday, it was their Thanksgiving volunteer. And it was so joyful for me, for these homeless people. And everybody smelled bad and some people were drunk, but we were all singing, joyful, feeding, eating, talking, laughing. Some people were not so happy, but it's a very joyful thing to do. It really takes you out of yourself. I did it yesterday and I was feeling a little down for this Thanksgiving. So ask for help if you need it, but remember, it's about being thankful. It's about gratitude, but true gratitude for breathing, for living, for having that another opportunity to enjoy God's beautiful earth, understand yourself and others. And again, the best gift to anyone is you. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We will see you in a few days. God bless all of you. I am Dr. Michelle.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you.